it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello and welcome to the Everything is Black and White podcast. It's time for the view from the opposition. This week it comes from Hal Stewart, podcast host of the Chef United Way. Hal, thank you very much for popping on. How are you keeping? You well?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in a different country now. I left the UK not so long ago, and so I'm dealing with extreme heat. But yeah, apart from that, I'm all right.
Oh, very nice. We've got a little bit of sunshine peeking through the clouds here on Tyneside, but we're still waiting for spring to actually begin. It is a big weekend this weekend for both Newcastle United and Sheffield United, both at opposite ends of the table. Newcastle United going for Europe, whereas Sheffield United could be officially relegated this Saturday if they lose to the Magpies. Now that the end is officially near, how are you feeling about it?
Yeah, I think the end being officially near and the end being official are almost the same sentence. So it's been a fine relegation. It's been a good relegation because Sheffield United normally get relegated in the most painful way. If you think of the worst way to go down, that's how we've always gone down. And it's left me, you know, sort of really miserable at the end of a season. This time, I've been able to process it almost from the first week. But like, we've looked so bad all season that I've never had any hope at any point that we were going to get out of it, even finishing 19th. I've always felt like, yeah, that's it. We're the worst. We're going down. So I've come to terms with it, and I'm way past acceptance.
It's been coming for a very long time. I guess with that in mind, your take on it, and I guess from a Sheffield United fan-based point of view, you're probably not alone with that train of thought. What are we expecting on Saturday? Are we expecting them to go down with a little bit of a fight? Are you expecting them to maybe even, you know, prolong the agony a little bit and get a win against Newcastle? What are your hopes going into this game?
We're better away from home, marginally better in terms of performance. So we usually start quite well. We often do create chances. We've got pacey players. We like to hit teams on the counter attack. We have very little possession. And it's more about just, can we take our chances? We will always give up chances. We will give up a lot of chances. We will give up opportunities from set pieces, general play. Everything you can imagine would lend itself to an exciting game. Usually, actually, away from home has been the case. There's often been goals involved. You know, you think we started really well at Crystal Palace. We lost 3-2. We started really well at Old Trafford. We lost 4-2. We played really well at Aston Villa and managed to get a 1-1. What we struggle with is holding on to leads, which we've had in all those games I mentioned. We seem to tire. We don't have the squad depth. Newcastle have had terrible injuries. Sheffield United have had terrible injuries. The difference is, unlike Newcastle, who I know are restricted in their ability to bring in players, but at least you have money, you know, from Saudi Arabia. We don't have money from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, the two contrasts in the ownership there. It's just a shame Newcastle United can't spend as much as they would like to, but that's a debate for another episode. You mentioned the away form of Sheffield United, 41 goals conceded on the road, won once, lost 13. So from Newcastle point of view, it's unthinkable that they would lose this on Saturday, but stranger things have happened. Does the performance against Manchester United taking the lead twice, is that right? Or at least for once, anyway. Does it give you hope does it give you hope that you can maybe swing a surprise against Newcastle?
Well, I think I'll go back to the stats that you just mentioned, actually, rather than the Man United game, because that kind of ended the way most of us expected. It was a real spirited performance. And okay, it can give us a little bit of hope, but it still was four goals conceded, just like the previous match, and we still lost. So if you're just looking at it on paper, no. But the real stats, which you also look at on paper, 92 goals conceded. We've got four matches left. You know, the record in a 38-game season is 89. We've already broken that record. That was by Derby County in 2008. We are top of the league in something. And if you're interested, we could break the all-time Premier League record, because it used to be, as you know, a 42-game season. So if we're looking at that, Swindon Town in the 42-game season conceded 100 goals. Now, we've conceded 92. We lost 8-0. to Newcastle at home. We're conceding 2.68 goals per game, which is actually worse than Swindon Town's record-breaking season, which was 2.38 per game. So if I was a Newcastle fan, what I'd be looking at ahead of this game is goals, like you saw with the home gate. It's not going to be 8-0. I'm confident saying that. We've got a new manager in place. The team are giving their all, I believe. And actually, we don't have players that are that bad. What we don't have, though, those reinforcements. Like I mentioned before, when they tire, because we don't have the ball, they're chasing. So they're tiring around about the hour, 75-minute mark, and we just don't have the bodies to replace them with quality. So we're often getting caught late on, and that's been the Chris Wilder story.
Newcastle do like to score a few goals at home. Last time out, they absolutely thumped Tottenham Hotspur. They scored 43 at home, 111, and we're thankful that Newcastle's home form is actually decent because their away form is horrendous. I mean, that win against Sheffield United was their only win on the road for months. And I mean, they've picked up a few more wins since then, but their away form is absolutely dire. But it seems like, at least yourself, Hal, you know, you're in good spirits about all these negative stats and all these records, the unwanted records that Sheffield United have broken and could go on to break, which I guess is that getting you through the whole relegation, the whole actual, you know, it was been a pretty bad season for you guys?
I think, Andrew, Sheffield United fans, Newcastle fans have like that gallows humour in common. When things are going against you, the best way to respond, and I think it's a Northern thing, is which you have to laugh at yourself. Now, it's different. If someone takes the mick out of Sheffield United and they're not a Sheffield United fan, I don't like it, and I will defend my club to my dying day. But when we do it, fellow Blades, we just laugh about it because we're in this pain together and we're trying to come together. And I had a feeling this season was going to be terrible. And I don't like Twitter, but I use it. And I went out on Twitter before the season started and I put a video out, which a lot of Blades have since recycled, commented on, likes and whatever. And I just said, this is going to be a tough season. Let's not turn on each other. Let's come together. It lasted about 3 days before we all turned on each other. Didn't even get to the start of the season. It was a new PB. But past that, we've kind of got past that. There's still a little bit of infighting, but it hasn't actually been what you'd maybe imagine. Like blade on blade is a term we use quite often. It hasn't really been like that. We've kind of all been together against the Premier League and how much we hate it and how much so many of us are looking forward to the Championship. And I know Newcastle will remember the Championship with tremendous fondness. It can actually be a really fun season.
Yeah, it's funny you should mention that because last week I did a video where I predicted the final league table and Sheffield United went down and Burnley went down and then Forest slipped in to the relegation zone of my prediction. And I tweeted out saying, oh, Forest fans, you'll not be happy. And a couple of Forest fans got back and said, well, actually, we quite like the Championship. So, yeah, for some teams, winning week in, week out is a lot better than maybe getting thumped week in, week out. But as bad as the stats are, Hal, and I'm going to read one out, and it will turn into a sort of positive at the end of the stat, bear with me. Sheffield United have lost 16 out of 18 Premier League away games played on a Saturday, but two of the last three have been good results for you, Luton and Bournemouth. So does that give you a little bit of hope?
Yeah, I think we're just playing better. You know, Burnley aside at home. Actually, no, I wouldn't say that. Actually, no, Burnley aside at home, we did play all right at spells in that. It was an embarrassing result. We've conceded a ridiculous amount of goals. It was 9 against Burnley, who I think are just as good as us or just as bad as us. But we've had two off days. But we actually created more chances in that match. Yeah, we played really well at Luton away and deserved to win that by more goals. And Bournemouth was frustrating because, again, we threw away. We just keep doing that. Leeds. So, yeah, it's a little bit of encouragement, but realistically, I don't think, even if we go on some sort of crazy run, I don't think it's going to be enough. So I think we're down, and actually we're now looking at the players we want to keep for next season. And so players that are putting in good performances at the end of this season are the ones you go, right, well, we want to keep him, we don't want to keep him, his contract's running out. It's actually quite useful from that point of view, and I think all Blades are pretty much aligned on which players we'd love to see next season and which ones we'd quite happily show the door, Vinicius Souza.
He's also been linked to Newcastle United, actually, but it sounds
you
like...
can have him. Shall we start the bidding at 30 million?
It sounds like you wouldn't recommend them too much, though.
Do you know what? Vinicius Souza, in a team that keeps the ball, will be fantastic. in a possession-based team, he will be your Makélélé. Okay, he's not as good as Claude Makélélé, but he's a player that will get the ball, do a simple pass, the distributor. He's also got pace, so he can actually get back where other players can't if they lose the ball. He's got all those attributes, but he doesn't work for Sheffield United. And I'm really surprised that we ever thought he would, because we knew we weren't going to have the ball. It's kind of the same with James McAtee. I love James McAtee. He was fantastic last season when we were attacking with more possession. But he doesn't make, he's a luxury player when you've hardly got the ball. And I was really surprised we wasted a loan on James. And that, again, is not on James McAtee's ability. He's fantastic. He can go right to the top. But with Sheffield United, I'm not sure it was always going to work. And I would rather we'd gone with a defender or a tough tackling, no-nonsense midfielder. Not one, and I'm not having a go at Vinicius Souza, but he is one that prefers to point, stand around, lose his man at set pieces and leave the hard yards to his teammates. But when he's in possession, he does a simple pass, it looks great.
See, I was going to say, you've started the sales pitch really well there, but then it's ended very badly, so I don't want him anywhere near Newcastle United. Those performances we mentioned, 3-1 victory over Luton and 2-2 against Bournemouth, two teams who Newcastle have struggled against here at St James's Park. And on paper, games you would expect to win from Newcastle point of view, but it didn't play out that way at all. You mentioned sorting out the futures of certain players, looking at who you want to keep next season. Will that be the message in the dressing room, do you think, from Chris Wilder and the staff? You know, they accept that down, we know it can happen this weekend, and they're now going around and saying, look, if you want to be part of this club for next season, where hopefully we get promoted back to the Premier League, now is your time to show us why.
You think so, wouldn't you? But the team selections have not suggested that. You know, Wes Fodringham played in goal in the last match, and he's pretty much made it clear that he's not going to be here next season. I don't think he wants to be at Sheffield United next season. Cameron Archer's not going to be with us next season. He started the last game more through necessity, because McBurney's out injured, because of course he is. But why didn't Wilder play Willa Sula, who will be with us next season? So it maybe is a bit like, I don't always understand the thought process. Some of the players, like Mason Holgate, is he going to be, he's only on loan, is he going to be here with us next season? Could we even afford his ridiculous wages, which Carlo Ancelotti very kindly gave him when he had a very purple patch with Everton? It's interesting, because we are also at the same time as that, blooding youngsters. And we played Andre Brooks and Oliver Arblaster, who was captain. He's only 20 years old, away at Old Trafford. Now, these players, it makes sense. But we've got other young players like Sam Curtis, who hasn't seen action, or Ryan One, who hasn't seen action, but we're hearing good things about them in our very successful youth sides. Our youth sides are always successful, and we always produce quality players, and then we go and sell them, and then they go and play for England.
What about Jaden Bogle, 23 years of age? When I watch him, I'm always very impressed by him. Is he a good fullback? Would he do an addition? Would he be a good addition to maybe a Newcastle United side, do you think?
I don't want you to have him. And he's another one with a contract situation. We could choose to renew it, or he might get a better offer. I mean, he's now our top scoring defender in Premier League history. Jaden Bogle is so good. He's better going forward. He's one of those. I personally think he could play in midfield, and occasionally he has debut for us. He came on against Brighton away and played in midfield and scored. And really, we haven't tried him too many other times. He can play right back, right wing back, play on the left, very rarely, but you know, with Baldock and him, they're both almost exactly the same player, although Baldock's better defensively. How do you get them both in? Well, Baldock's made that easier by being injured for large parts of the recent campaign. But Bogle is a player that I've always liked. Chris Wilder knows how to get the best out of Jaden Bogle. I think he's got it all. In terms of going forward, I think he still needs to work on his defensive attributes. And hopefully, having me now said that, he'll have a really great defensive game against Newcastle.
Sounds like a man that wouldn't do too bad of a job in black and white of Newcastle. I guess with all these questions over the future of the players, the big question is about Chris Wilder. Is he going to be the manager in charge next season, do you think?
Yeah, I think as long as our current owner is the owner, they seem to be very, very cozy in terms of the future planning. I think that the future is set. I think Wilder will have ironed out his targets. He needs to get them all right. This is a massive summer for the Blades. And I would imagine that Chris Wilder will be in the hot seat, probably even this time next season. Realistically, it depends how he starts. And actually, that's the true test of Wilder. It's not been the end of this Premier League campaign, where we were almost doomed from the minute he got the job. But actually, how we start next season in a league that everyone will be expecting us to go straight back up. The signings he makes, and how we look on the pitch.
I guess, though, with that in mind, you still want to come to St James' Park on Saturday and give those fans who've travelled all the way up something to enjoy and really put in a good performance. And I guess it is when you go up against the bigger sides like Manchester, like Manchester United and Newcastle, you know, you really want to give yourself a good showing on a, you know, a big public platform.
Yeah, and I've seen us win at St James's before in the Premier League, and we can do that. I think that the travelling fans you just mentioned there, that they want to put on a good show. Our fans this season have been incredible away from home. We will be very vocal all the way up there, and you know, after they've got their breath back from climbing the stairs. You know, I've been a lot of times to St James's. I've seen wins, more defeats, but yeah, you'll want to put on a good show, and I very much hope they do, because the travelling support deserves that.
Will that 8-0 defeat, though, early in the season, does that leave a scar? Has it left a scar, do you think? And will that be maybe in the minds of some of the players when they run out onto the pitch on Saturday?
I think it did leave a scar. I think Tottenham away has left the biggest scar. I think that's actually where our season really began to unravel. But that was under Paul Heckingbottom, and Chris Wilder will not be interested in even bringing it up, not on his watch. And, you know, he would probably not maybe have made the same decisions that Paul made in that match. Chris is not someone who will be sentimental, and he will make the brave choices and the brave changes in game and before matches if he doesn't like what he sees. Chris is a heart on his sleeve guy. He's as honest as the day is long. I think that's why a lot of Blades like him. He's one of us as well, but he speaks like us, and he won't ever sugarcoat anything, and we respect that. And if anyone in the journalistic world brings up, you know, the 8-0 to Chris, I'm sure he'll just brush it off and say it won't have any bearing.
And in terms of, I mean, we've spoken about a couple of players, but is there a player that springs to mind when I ask you about the one player Newcastle will have to try and keep quiet on Saturday?
I think Oliver Arblaster is the one that we've got most excited about for a long, long time. He's not someone I would say you've got to keep an eye on him because he's going to do Bruno Fernandes 30-yarder. He's not like that. He just won't give the ball away, and if he does, he'll try and win it back. He'll give you, as a fan watching him, as a Sheffield United fan, he'll give you everything. And he's another one who's one of us. We've got quite a few players who are Sheffield United fans who've come through the ranks in our entire squad and in our youth setup and through our history. That's something that we've been very proud of. And he's the next one along. And he's someone that I've managed to know personally as well, and is a great guy. And you just want him to succeed. So I would say, if you're a Newcastle fan watching this and you want to keep an eye on anyone, Oliver Arblaster, who might be captain, I don't know, for this match, wouldn't surprise me. Look at the guy with the armband, because he'll give you a really solid performance.
It's one to watch there. And I suspect your answer to the next question might be quite a lengthy one, but if there was one particular weakness that you were telling Eddie Howe to exploit, what would it be?
I mean, the defence, our concentration levels, set pieces, ability to track runners, goalkeeping full stop, long range shots. I mean, take your pick. But yeah, I've been really disappointed with our defensive set pieces and free headers and the simple stuff. We seem to concede goals that are avoidable. We seem to make many more mistakes. I think that is the difference, actually, between the top athlete and the very, very good athlete, is that the very top don't seem to make mistakes. But when you make a mistake at Premier League level, unlike in the Championship or League One, you get punished. And we make maybe, three a game. The opposition don't make any. And we get punished every time. And if the opposition do make one, we've got the pressure on us, because we know we might only get three chances a match. So if a defender slips and you're one-on-one with a keeper and you're Ben Brereton-Diaz, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, I've got to score this. I absolutely cannot miss. Whereas if you're Manchester United or Newcastle, you go, do you know what? I might miss this one. I'll get another one in 5 minutes. It's very, very different mindset. And I think that pressure has played on the lads.
But flipping that the other way, there must be a strength amongst all the negatives. So what does Eddie Howe have to look out for? What is he telling this team? This is kind of the element of play that we've got to watch out for.
That Newcastle are going to have the ball. So when they lose it, we're trying to hit in transition, as people say nowadays. We'll try and hit you on the break. We'll try and be quick. We'll try and get the ball either over the top or down the channels. We will attack as one. That's also how we get caught out. But we will pile forward, because I think the players believe in themselves incredibly, despite quite a lot of downs they've had this season and bumps they've taken along the way, when we do attack, we actually can look really good. The second goal we scored against Manchester United is a quality goal that if Manchester City had scored it, I think we'd be seeing it quite often. We'll hardly see it again. But it was a good team goal. That's because the players still trust each other. Maybe apart from Austin Trustee, ironically. But we will attack as a group. And I think you just keep an eye on us on the break. And it depends who's fit. You never know. Chris Wilder very rarely gives much away. But if the kind of same players are fit that played against Manchester United, I would say that left-hand side, Ben Brereton-Diaz, Ben Osborne, you know, linking up. If Jack Robinson is back, we'll all breathe a sigh of relief as well, because he's our most solid and reliable centre-back. And if you told me that a few years ago, I'd have laughed in your face, because you'd think going up this season it would have been Anil Ahmed-Hodzic. He's been mixed at best.
It's going to be interesting on Saturday, because as you've said there, Sheffield United won't have much of the ball and Newcastle will have the majority of possession. But from my point of view, I still think Newcastle are much more comfortable when they don't have majority of the possession. We saw that in the win against Tottenham. I think they had something like 23% possession and still managed to score four goals. I think when the opposition ask them to play with the ball, they can do it. They've shown this season and last season that they can do it, but I don't think it's their A game. So it's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out. And I think if Sheffield United do counter and they don't make it pay, I think that's when you will see Newcastle at their best, and they will then hit Sheffield United on the counter and maybe punish them. In terms of Newcastle United stars, and there's quite a few big names attracting attention, is there one player in particular that you're fearing but also looking forward to seeing?
Oh, there's a lot I like about Newcastle. Unfortunately, one of the players I really like for Newcastle, who I pronounce as Joe Ellington, is still missing, right?
Yeah, he won't be back for Saturday, we don't think. He's had some positive news after seeing a specialist this week, but this game will probably come just a tad too soon for him. But that said, Eddie Howe often says these things, and then you wouldn't be surprised to see him lining up against Sheffield United on Saturday. Yeah. But we don't think he will do.
We're used to that. Well, that's a shame. I like him. You know, obviously, Wilson, a player that I've watched since he was at Coventry. Isak looks like a very capable, good ability at dribbling and confident striker. Anthony Gordon surprised me. I didn't realise he was as good as he is. Anderson also surprised me. I like the look of Bruno every time I see him. And Sheffield United fans know that Dan Byrne, that's a kind of a running joke with Blades, because we were linked with Dan Byrne for probably longer than we've ever been linked with any other player ever in the history of players. But we never got him over the line. And I think he'd be delighted about that, because obviously he's a Newcastle fan.
Yeah, so Dan Byrne was our... We were always linked to Bas Dost. That was the rumour that never went away.
The striker.
Yeah, there you have it. It's going to be such an interesting game. And I just wonder how you look at Newcastle United after the defeat to Palace, where they were woeful. And again, you threw in all the elements about their away record. It's not good. I mean, they had a 10-day break, though, and they looked more tired than Palace did. And they only had 3 days between the games they played last week. Are you fearing that Newcastle United might be a bit of a wounded animal and that there's going to be a response to that defeat? Or are Sheffield United just that awful that it doesn't really matter and Newcastle should win regardless?
A little of column A, a little of column B. Also, I was actually hoping Newcastle would get something at Palace, because now you're going to be looking for a response in front of, you know, a Gallagher end and a very a ferocious, frenzied Magpies following that will be demanding a much better performance. So actually, it doesn't help us at all, that defeat. I think it's the opposite, and I think you'll play very well and you're better at home. So yeah, put it all together, what have you got? I think it's, let's be honest, if I was a neutral, there's only one way I'd go with this.
Yeah, but as I said yesterday on our match preview episode, I don't know if it's because I've been stung so many times as a Newcastle United fan, I'm always expecting the worst when everyone expects Newcastle United to do, I beat Sheffield United, but hopefully that doesn't happen. I know we spoke about it right at the start of the show, but if Newcastle United manage to beat Sheffield United, and when that final whistle is blown and relegation is finally confirmed, what will the feeling be for yourself?
Honestly, and maybe a lot of Blades won't like this, but relief. We can just focus on next season already, concentrate, start to get our ducks in a row, maybe even make some contact with agents and clubs and players and start to look ahead. It's like if you finish top of the Championship rather than finishing in sixth place and go via the playoffs, you know, we've got a head start. We'll know exactly where we're going to be. and we can start to think about contracts and new additions. I'll be hugely relieved because we're going to go down anyway. The sooner we do it, the quicker we can start work, the vital work, the most important summer transfer window in our in maybe entire history, but certainly last sort of 20, 30 years.
So there we go. But you don't sound like you're going to expecting one last surprise. So the next question is probably maybe a bit of a pointless one, but what's the score prediction?
I'll say 3-1 Newcastle, and knowing the Blades will take the lead and then just crumble. And unfortunate circumstances, you know, that could be what happens. I mean, I've seen us win 1-0 at Newcastle. I've also seen us play really well and crumble in the cup. So it could be the same sort of thing again in that respect. But you never know. We've got a similar sort of quality squad, actually. When I think of Nick Montgomery turning Emre and putting a cross in for Danny Webber to make that header, and I think Glenn Roeder then got, God rest his soul, got sacked after that. That squad that day wasn't great for Sheffield United, and we beat Newcastle and played really well that day. And you know what? Maybe we could pull off something similar and, as you've sort of said, prolong the inevitable.
There's always a chance, as John Gibson, my co-host, would say, you've always got a chance in a two-horse race. I am going to go for victory simply because I just can't think of anything else. I mean, it would be unthinkable if Newcastle lost this game, especially given the two extremes of the team, one going down, one going for Europe. So they've got to win. Newcastle's home form, of course, in their favour. And I do think Newcastle will score goals. I do think Sheffield United will get a goal, though. And as you say, I think it probably will be the first of the afternoon. But after that, given everything you've said and given Newcastle's strengths at home, I'm going to go for a 4-1 victory. And that'll be a big boost for Newcastle in the race for Europe. Hal, thank you very much for popping on today. Everything is Black and White Podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure to chat to you about Sheffield United. To you guys watching, please give this video a thumbs up. Hit subscribe on the channel. To you guys listening on the audio platform, thank you as always. Leave us a rating and a review. Share the pod amongst your Catholic supporting friends and family. And you can follow this game through our dedicated Match Day Live blog. And you're going to have to because it's a 3 o'clock kickoff. It's not on TV legally anyway. So do head over to the website and follow it there. And for myself, I'll see you guys next week.